Trevor Noah must have heard my review of his Elon Musk Twitter jokes. If you listened yesterday, I didn't think they were too good. Trevor came back strong, and hi, I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. Trevor Noah said the Elon Musk Twitter sale set off a wave of takes so hot they burned off my eyebrows and I had to draw them back on. But one of the biggest takes came from former Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey, who gave Musk his stamp of approval, saying, "I trust his mission to extend the lights of consciousness." What? Trevor said, "I'll be honest, people, I have no idea what that means, but Jack's clearly on the billionaire speak." All jokes aside, Jack Dorsey's a great guy, and I wish him a safe journey back to his home planet. Jimmy Fallon said, "Yeah, Musk said he's going to bring back free speech to Twitter. It's a big deal, because if true, it means we'll finally be able to talk about Bruno." Will Donald Trump return to Twitter? Jimmy Kimmel said, "You know, Trump claims he won't go back on Twitter, but he 100% will go back on Twitter. And then this dumb new company he conned everybody out of their money for will become, I guess, the social media equivalent of a Radio Shack that's run by Devin Nunes." Trevor, yeah, so Truth Social is competition for Twitter the same way that guy on the plane was competition for Mike Tyson. Trevor rebounding. Good job, Trevor Noah writers. Also, it doesn't bode well, this is Trevor again, that Trump himself has only posted on Truth Social one time ever. Yeah, and that was 2 months ago. Think about how crazy that is, people. When he was on Twitter, Trump would send out, what, like 50 tweets every time he went to the bathroom? Now he hasn't posted for 2 months. Somebody needs to get this guy prune juice fast. I'll be honest, the only reason I'd ever want Trump back on Twitter, the only reason, because I know, yeah, it would probably lead to another term and it would destroy the country, but I just really want to see his Wordle scores. Nice rebound there. Switching topics. Jimmy Fallon, it was announced that Vice President Kamala Harris has tested positive for COVID. Yeah, President Biden told her to take her time recovering. He was like, "When I was VP, I was gone for 2 years and nobody even noticed." Fallon. Thankfully, Harris is feeling good and will remain isolated just like she has since taking office. Yeah, the White House said Harris has been nowhere near Biden for a week, which pretty much tells you all you need to know about that relationship. I don't know, did they have a fight over a jelly bean? Why haven't they seen each other in 8 days? Did you enjoy the 3-day break between comedy festivals? Well, comedy festivals are back, baby. This is the Netflix Is a Joke Comedy Festival. This one is going to be huge. NBC did a big profile of it. They wrote, "The lineup at this month's festival is star-studded. Aziz Ansari, Patton Oswalt, Wanda Sykes at the Orpheum Theater, Kevin Hart at the Crypto.com Arena, Gabe Iglesias at Dodger Stadium, Sebastian Maniscalco at the Art Deco Landmark, The Wiltern, John Mulaney at the Hollywood Bowl, Amy Schumer at the Trendy Ace Hotel. Robbie Praw is Netflix's Vice President of Stand-Up Comedy Formats. I worked with Robbie a little bit at some of the Just for Laughs festivals way back when. Robbie talked about how this festival is originally going to happen in 2020. I remember sitting here in the basement mapping out all the coverage. And then there was this pandemic. Did you hear about this? Google COVID-19. You won't believe what happened. Robbie said, "To have to delay because of the pandemic was really disappointing, but it gave us more time to grow the festival substantially because we felt like the idea of celebrating stand-up comedy took on a whole new meaning. So many of us in the stand-up community haven't had the opportunity to get together for a big event like this, so it feels like we're about to start a major comedy camp. The festival will include special theme nights such as Standout, an LGBTQ+ celebration, an evening of comedy at the Greek Theater hosted by Billy Eichner, featuring queer comics like Eddie Izzard, Fortune Feimster, Margaret Cho, Patty Harrison, Sandra Bernhard, Tig Notaro, and Wanda Sykes." That is a killer lineup. That's a good show. Taylor Tomlinson will be at the Peppermint Club on the 5th and the Ace Hotel on the 6th. She credits Netflix, said, "If you're doing big shows in the town you live in with industry people there and whatnot, of course you're a little nervous." Tomlinson said she's excited to support new voices who have slots at the festivals, like Brian Simpsons. "I hesitate to even call him up and coming because he's just so good. He's somebody I started with in San Diego who's always been absolutely amazing and total genius. I think he's about to be huge." Ronnie Cheng said, "I'll say this, everyone at this festival is a legit performer. I'll stand by anyone, anywhere in the billing. I mean, not to get too corporate, but this goes to show that everybody wants to be part of this. I'm trying to look for somebody who I hate. Nope, everyone here is a killer." Let's take a look at the lineup for tonight. 7 o'clock, sold out, Dave Chappelle and Friends. I'm looking forward to that show happening because Dave will say something, and especially if he says it at this festival in Los Angeles. Someone's going to comment on it, and then we're going to have 4 more days of content. Woohoo! The Duncan Trussell Family Hour. I was listening to Duncan on Joe Rogan's podcast just this morning while doing some Apple Fitness Plus cycling. Bakari, one of my favorite trainers. I was enjoying that interview very much. That's also at 7, although I'd pick Chappelle. couple other shows later on, but Chappelle clearly dominates for tonight. Ricky Gervais is not at this festival, but he has a new special coming out. It was filmed last year as he performed his Supernature set at locations around Europe. This will be coming to Netflix. Sunday World described the new special as brilliantly ridiculous, adding, Gervais touches on his uncomfortable medical examinations, how he's dealing with life now that he's toasted his 60th birthday, and a series of topics most comedians would avoid for fear of being struck down by the apology police. I'm always happy to have a new Ricky Gervais special. The Daily Star has a Ricky Gervais adjacent article. Nothing funny here. The headline, Thug blamed Ricky Gervais for sweary rant before smashing partner's head on windowsill. Yeah, this is awful. The violent thug, I'm not going to say his name, said he was watching Afterlife on Netflix, which caused him to spout vile insults at his partner, whose head he smashed on a windowsill. The prosecutor asked during the cross-examination, so it's Ricky Gervais's fault? The thug said, it's not his fault, it's just why it was on my mind. The thug was found guilty of assault. Yep, nothing funny there. Decider watched David Spade's new special. I haven't had a chance yet. It is soccer season, so I'm at soccer practice most nights, and then I get home pretty late and honestly fall asleep on the couch, get up, go back to work. Decider's review confused me. They wrote, this hour is fairly standard, yet a scattered one, not spending too much longer than a Hollywood minute on any specific premise. So I'm reading it, and I'm like, oh, okay, they didn't really like it. And then their verdict, stream it, huh? They write, of course, sometimes that's all you want out of a comedy special. Some light titters, an escape from the real world, and whatever problems or anxieties it might be causing for you. Don't come to this special thinking you're going to get much insight or see the world around you any differently. So it sounds like it's a fluff piece, and if you're bored, watch David Spade's new special. Honestly, there's way too much on TV, man. I can't watch an okay comedy special. By the way, on the side, I've been making my best of 2020 comedy list. It's almost May 1st. There's not much on it yet. Like, not a lot. It has not been a good year for stand-up. That said, last year, a lot of the best things came out, like, the last week. That Gaffigan special, the Jimmy Carr special, all that was, I think, after Christmas. So there's still hope. The Austin Chronicle was at Dion Cole's show at Moon Tower last week. They wrote, when Cole caught people chatting during his routine, he was less than hesitant about calling them out. Did you hear me drop the G there when I said calling? That's the Queen's accent slipping out. Throughout the show, Cole successfully played on racial tensions to the point of discomfort. He catered a substantial amount of material to Austin's black community while still remaining relatable and compelling to anyone else. Adding rhythm to his show, he took a pause from the dramatics, sliding his phone out of his pocket to read a series of deadpans and general queries, including asking Hispanic audience members if the phrase, "No way, Jose," is racist. They unanimously shouted, "No," for minority groups, just white people aren't allowed to say it. To wrap up, Cole gave a surprising instruction. That instruction, no applause. He then imparted a profound message about the state of comedians today. Show comedians love, because you never know what they're going through before they come out on stage. The job is to perform, to make people smile and feel happy, even when they themselves are dealing with hard times. Last night was volleyball night. I can't tell you how we did, because I'm not taping this thing after volleyball. You know what I mean? I'm tired. But I found out Mateo Lane and I have something in common. He also a volleyball player. He spoke to 7 Days Vermont and said, yeah, I used to be on a gay volleyball team in Chicago with my friends. Our name was Ursula's Bitches, and we never won a game. 7 Days asked him what he could never live without. Mateo Lane said, pasta. That's why I love going back to Italy every year. I can't believe an entire country, one, eats pasta every day, two, knows how to properly eat pasta, and three, makes the best pasta in the world. It's like heaven to me. It's like Disney World. 7 Days was curious, what's the wrong way to make pasta? Mateo said, I mean, where do I begin? Overcooking it, not using enough water, not seasoning it, people putting olive oil in their water, people not cooking the pasta with the pasta sauce, not cooking it all day, not using the pasta water to cook with the pasta, not knowing how to swirl their pasta, using a spoon, cutting their pasta, using boxed Parmesan cheese, using cream and carbonara. The list goes on. So Mateo, you don't usually eat pasta in the U.S.? Mateo said, I mean, I cook my own pasta, but I eat at 2 restaurants in New York City. They're from Italy, and they know how to properly make pasta. This is where I would get my pasta. I'm not saying where, because I don't want people to go there. Hey, Mateo Lane, if you're listening, and I know you are, Google George Lopez tacos, and then just think Mateo Lane pasta. It's a good idea. Get on that. Hey, let me cross promote with Palace Intrigue. That's the podcast I write for about the royal family. There's so much going on with this Tina Brown book. So if you like royal family gossip, check that out. But I'm not just shoehorning in a promo. There's a major event coming to Windsor Castle. It features comedians, Tom Cruise, and Helen Mirren. Do I have your attention? Of course I do. From Chortle, Oma Jalili will be appearing at the televised event alongside a cast of 1,300 people. Some of those people, Tom Cruise, Dame Helen Mirren, Damian Lewis, and 500 horses, which are not people. Don't count the horses as part of the 1,300 people. There are 1,300 people, one of which is Tom Cruise, plus, separately from Tom Cruise, 500 horses. Senior royals will attend the event. The Queen is not expected to confirm whether she'll attend or not, because she's 96, man. Now, why is Jalili hosting this? He said, I have a bit of history with the royals, because if they want a joke, they'll call me up. He recalled how Michael Fawcett, Prince Charles's former senior valet, there's a job title, would ring to say that they needed gags about architecture, for example. We need 10 jokes, emailed tomorrow. Imagine that, you get to get email from Prince Charles's people, hey, can you write 10 jokes about architecture? Anyway, sounds like a fun event. Tom Cruise and 500 horses, you can't go wrong. Let's stay on that side of the pond. A phrase I keep using, and I think I'm the only one who uses it, also from Chortle, Issy Suddy. You know her from playing Dobby in Peep Show, the show I keep telling you to watch. It's on Hulu. If you haven't seen Peep Show, watch Peep Show. If you've seen Peep Show, you know why I'm saying this. She's going out on a comedy tour for the first time in 6 years. The blurb, Izzy's always searching for adventure in life, but now that she's a mom with a partner who hates surprises, can she still find it, and why does she need it anyway? Ever since she can remember, she's been searching for ways to make her life more exciting. Ouija boards, exploring derelict houses, and jumping off things for a bet. She often meets others who share the same love of pushing the boundaries. The Welsh taxi driver who found a mischievous way of brightening up his day, and a neighbor who created a network of tunnels beneath his house just for the fun of it. In her return to life stand-up, she asks whether it's enough to try and find that buzz on mum's weekends away or on family walks in the woods, and why she continues to hunt for it at all costs. All right, that sounds like fun. That's your comedy news for today. Follow this show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, wherever you get your shows. If you'd like to become a premium subscriber, that helps support the show. $5 a month, you get early releases, and they are commercial-free releases. And my dog is friggin' barking. Forget the rest. I gotta go. Bye.